This morning, I want to share a message with you that I preached 40 years ago. I was going through my notes, and I was reminded how good this message was 40 years ago. Some of you heard it 40 years ago, and some of you will identify with it, I'm sure. But there are some basic things, and I've been sharing this for the last few weeks, some basic things that we need to get past and get on to maturity so we can become the ministers that the Lord's called us to be. And as long as we're still in those basic doctrines of Hebrews chapter 6, we're not growing, and we can't teach until we've grown up to, you know, and learn some things so we can teach others. Amen. And so that what I want to share that with you this morning, some things that I think will help you. And I'm going to give you three or four, or maybe five key factors that has helped Darlene and I in the ministry, changed our lives. And maybe, just maybe, everybody say maybe, there might be something that I've learned in 50 years of ministering that might help some of us today. Who would have ever thought, I don't know if Steve remembers when I was on Maple Street or not, but who would have ever thought that a tiny, tiny church of 9 people would ever grow into a world outreach center? When I started that church, listen, when I started that church, I called that church, here we go. Back then we had long names. I mean, it took the whole side of the building. I built a new building there, and it took the whole side of the building. It was Calvary Temple Word of Faith World Outreach Center. That was a big name. I had vision. Calvary Temple, Word of Faith, World Outreach Center. We weren't even reaching one city block. But brother, I had vision. I knew that we would be an outreach center. Little did I know that 40 years later, we would be traveling around the world preaching the gospel to people that are hungry for the word and people that keep inviting us back. It's a miracle that they just keep inviting us back. So I just want to share some of those basic things that we learned back in those years of ministry, some things that I got a revelation of, and I think maybe you can learn something too. How many knows not everybody knows everything? And if you're here this morning, now listen real close because I don't want you to miss this. If you know everything and nobody can teach you anything, I want you to come up here and let me cast the devil out of you. Because nobody knows everything. We can all still learn something. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. And whether it's me preaching or my pastor or your pastor's wife preaching, we can learn. I don't care if it's Alex or if it's Luke or if it's Dwayne or if I'm going to miss somebody here. Help me out. Whoever it is that preaches here in this church, Lou, listen, we don't stay home because they're preaching. That's an insult. What you're saying is, I can't learn anything from them. They don't teach me like senior pastor does, so I'm going to stay home. That is not a compliment to our ministry. That is a slap in the face. And we can learn something. We can learn something. I tell you what, when Blake gets up here, he's been up here twice on Wednesday nights to preach, he blows me out of the water. He just does an outstanding job. He's developing into a mighty fine preacher, and I'm going to tell you something. We can learn from anybody and everybody. You know, it really disturbs me when you go to a conference and you got these preachers, you got these great preachers on the stage preaching, but you got all these other preachers that come in to be a part of the service, and they just get up and they walk around the whole time. They're fellowshipping with everybody. They're not even sitting in the auditorium listening. What bugs me is when somebody sends their pastor to a meeting and the pastor don't go to the meeting because he's out there fellowshipping in the parking lot. God help us. And some people feel like, well, I've heard them before. I just come out here and fellowship with a few people. It bothers me. When people in the house of God, what somebody's preaching, it may be a Luke or a Lou, or it may be a Blake. And instead of listening, we're on our phones, playing on our phones, instead of thinking, well, maybe I could learn something. You know what people tell me nowadays? Well, I can multitask. I can multitask. I can listen. I can be on Facebook, and I can text, and I can tell you exactly what maybe you can, but I believe we ought to give our undivided attention. Amen. I don't care if it's me or somebody else behind this pulpit. We ought to be listening because we might just learn something. Hallelujah. You know, we go to these meetings that we have in these leadership conferences, and Luke's been to several of them with us. Those meetings will start at 9 in the morning and may not end till 5 o'clock at night. But you know what? I don't get up and, when it's time for Luke to preach or one of our other team members to preach. I don't get up and walk out and think, well, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go back and rest. No, I'm on the front row with my Bible taking notes as if it was the very first time I ever heard them. It's important that we don't grow weary in listening to the familiar. Well, I could stop right now and we could go home. But you're not that lucky. I'm going to give you more, okay? Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 19. And some of you, as soon as I read this, you're going to say, I remember that. Because it's very unique. Very unique. Now, this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, John the Baptist, who are you? He did not fail to confess, but he confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. Do you understand? I am not the Messiah. Then they asked him, well, who are you? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He said, no. Finally, they said, well, who are you? Give us an answer so that we can take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Can you see that? What do you say about yourself? I love the King James Version. What sayest thou of thyself? What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice. Everybody say, I am the voice.
I am the voice.
Listen now. Prophet or John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. You know what John did? He went back to the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and he found out what the Bible, what the prophecy, what the word said about him. And he said no more, no less than what the word of God said about him. He said what the word said. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask you the question, what are you saying about yourself? Or as Dr. King James said, what sayest thou of thyself? Are you with me this morning? We were singing that song this morning. I asked Dwayne Wednesday night if he would sing it today. We were the beggars. But to hear some people talk, they're still the beggars. I was the prisoner. I was enslaved and pray, you know, I just pray for me, Pastor. I'm just a weak worm. I'm lower than the worm. I crawl on the ground. I'm a nobody. I'm just a sinner. You know, a preacher one time told somebody, he came up to the prayer line and he said, what can I pray with you about? And this preacher said to him, he said, well, I'm just a worm. I'm just unclean. I'm just an old sinner. And the guy said, are you saved? He said, yes. He said, then you're not a worm. Oh, but I'm unclean and I'm a worm and I'm lower than the dust of the earth. And this preacher said, listen to me. What are those things hanging on your ear, hanging on your head? He said, ears. He said, do they work? He said, listen, you are not a worm. You are not a slave. You are not a prisoner. Thank God we are the redeemed. We are the set free. We are free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. What are you saying about yourself? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be good today. You see, I believe that if we can learn to answer this question properly and quit talking about the way things are and start talking about the way things should be, we're going to see things change drastically in our life, in our finances, in our businesses. Can I get a good amen? In our church. We're not just a little old bitty corn-husking church in Farmington, Missouri that's never going to amount to anything. We started 50 years ago with Calvary Temple Word of Faith World Outreach Center. Might as well talk big, right? We're not a Farmington Outreach Center. We're a World Outreach Center. What are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about your ministry? Woo! Somebody guess amen so I can take a drink. Amen. Find out what God says about you and start there. go to the scriptures and find out, what does God say about your situation? What does God say about your finances? What does God say about physical healing? What does God say about your children? What is he saying? And say what John the Baptist said. Well, Isaiah 40 says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Find out. Now, I really thought you would be shouting by now. Find out what the Bible says and say what the Bible says. Because when you say what the Bible says, you're saying what God says. Find out what God says about you and then agree with God. Are you keeping up with me, Sister Becky? Okay. I believe when we start saying, now listen, we're going to have to dig in the Word. We're going to find out what the Word says. You can't just quote something because you heard somebody else say it. You got to dig in the Word, find out what the Word says, and what are you going to say about yourself? And I promise you that things are going to change when you say what God says about you. And we stop talking about the way things are and the way we feel and the way things look. Are we faith people? We need to know who we are, you need to know what you have, and you need to understand the authority that you have. Give me an amen from the sound booth. Amen. We need to stop running and shaking in our boots every time the devil says boo. We got to stop accepting the packages every time the devil delivery guy comes up and brings you a package. You don't have to take everything he lays on your front porch. You don't have to answer the door every time he knocks on your door. You don't have to accept everything that the enemy deals your way. So we need some people that know their authority in Christ. We need to know who we are. Woo, this is good preaching. Well, Lord, you know I'm just an unworthy sinner. You know, I've heard people say this, and I struggle with this. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I know that sounds really spiritual and humble. But I'm going to tell you something. I might have been a sinner, but I'm not a sinner now. When you say, I am a sinner saved by grace, you're saying, I am a sinner. I was a sinner. When somebody says, who are you? Say, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. And I understand the thinking in that, because we were all sinners. But thank God we're not sinners today. If we are, we need to give our lives to Jesus. If you're still a sinner, get saved. Okay, everybody still love me? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm just a nobody. You're not a nobody. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a somebody. Come on, turn to yourself. Put your finger on your own chest and say, I am a somebody. There was a nobody that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And this nobody had nothing. And this nobody crawled up to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. And you know what Jesus said? He didn't say nobody. You know what he said? Somebody touched me. Somebody. She was a nobody, but she turned that around when she touched Jesus, and he said, somebody touched me. He changed her from a nobody to a somebody in one touch. Doesn't that make you happy today? Everybody said, I'm not a nobody, but I'm a somebody. I'm not arrogant or prideful about that, but I am thankful for what Jesus has done for us. Because we were nobodies. In fact, Paul says, you know what Paul says you were? Paul says you were dogs. Yeah, that's what he says. We were all of us Gentiles. I don't believe there's any Jews in here today. If you are, forgive me. But if you're a Gentile, that you were, Paul considered Gentiles as dogs. You were a dog. But now we are children of the Most High God, bred into the family of God. Amen. So let's talk about this a minute. What sayest thou of thyself? How many knows John the Baptist could have said a lot of things like we do? How many knows he could have said, oh, this camel skin that I'm wearing is driving me nuts. It itches and I have to scratch all the time. He could have said, there's no more honey to eat because all the bears have got the honey. He could have said, these locusts, I get so tired of eating these crunchy locusts. Can't I have something besides locusts? But he didn't tell it like it was. He didn't say, well, I just have no home and I just wander in. I'm homeless and I live in the wilderness. No, those things were all true, but that's not what he said. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He found where it was written about him and said what the Word said. I am the voice. I like that, don't you? Amen. Amen. You can use it. Just give me the credit the first time, okay? I can't say it enough. John the Baptist knew what the prophet had already said, and he said what the prophecy said. He said what the prophecy said. Some of you have had words of prophecy over your life. You might want to go back and listen to those. Write them down. Darlene keeps we keep a notebook of all the prophecies. We've got it on recordings and we've got it on paper. And every once in a while, you just got to go back and remind. I remind myself that prophecy that Carol gave us, that we'll never be poor again. She reminded us that the doors of prosperity are opening for Solid Rock and for you guys. I'll never forget that. But every once in a while, when we get attacked, I have to go back and I am reminded what that prophetic word said. Didn't the writer of Hebrews say we shouldn't let these things slip? Let's not let those things slip. Let's go back and be reminded. And so we're going to have to start changing the way we talk. Amen? Do you know that the human beings are the only people that talk? I know you're going to think about that a minute, because you're going to say, no, dogs talk. Let me rephrase it. We're the only ones that use words. Humans are the only ones that use words. Do you know that when God stood out in the middle of nothing, it was black, it was void, it was without form, and God, what did he do? He didn't put his hands together and just create something. You know what he did? He said. Huh? He used what? He used words. He created with his words. With his words. Words are powerful. Do you remember this verse? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And one translation says, and you will eat the consequences of it. Yeah, you will eat the consequences of it. Remember when Joshua was about to take over the leadership, and Moses came to him, and he told him, he said, now Joshua, you be strong in the Lord. And he said, do not let the word depart out of your mouth. You meditate in this word day and night, and sir, you will have prosperity. You will be blessed. You will be successful in everything you do because you are speaking. Everybody say speak. Speaking the word. You can't just read it and let it go in your mind. I thank God that we can renew our mind, but we need to speak the word. I am the healed. Whether you like it or not, I am blessed. If you get jealous over my blessings, that's not my problem. Come on now. If you get jealous because this couple down here is blessed, shame on you. You ought to rejoice with them. Is this okay? I'm telling you the truth this morning. I'm not preaching something just to make you feel good. I'm not trying to jack you up this morning. I'm trying to let you know that words are powerful. Words are powerful. And we curse ourselves with our words. Amen. We curse ourselves. We curse our future. We curse our businesses. We curse our bank accounts. We curse our health with the words that come out of our mouth. Words are powerful. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. In other words, in the words that you speak. Huh? How many of those Jesus said, you can have what you say. I know that's not real popular these days when we're being fought so hard by some of the major denominations, but the Bible does say that Jesus said you can have what you say. What do you say? You say what the Word says. I don't just say any old thing and I have it. I'm blessed what I say. Jesus said you can have whatsoever you say. What do I say? I speak the Word and it comes to pass. I don't just speak, well, Lord, you said I can have what I say, so I want a Rolls Royce Bentley shipped from Great Britain, and I want it to have no miles on it, and Lord, you said I can have what I say, and I'm holding you to it, Lord. You promised me, and I know you can't lie, so I'm expecting a Bentley in my mailbox next week. Listen, it don't work that way. Hello? You can have what you say, and what you say is what the Word of God say. I know it's not good English, but say what the words say and you can have what you say. People have taken that have what you say off to the ditch, and then God gets blamed because people are misrepresenting it. We say, Roy, we say what the word says, don't we? We say, I'm going through this surgery. It's going to be an 11-hour surgery, but I'm coming through to the other side and God's going to restore me. Hallelujah. We say what the word says. God help me. I'm not even got to point one yet. Listen, don't listen to those nincompoops out there that tell you that that's not true. Don't listen to those people, those false teachers that say, well, you know, or some of these doctors of theology that says, well, you know, we've searched it out and Greeked it out, and that's not really what it means. Oh, have what you say means have what you say. How many loves Pastor Rhodes this morning still? Let me see. Okay. You still with me, right? Okay. You can be like the couple did a couple weeks ago. If you don't like it, you can get up and walk out while I'm preaching. And I won't embarrass you. So let's talk about four things that God says we can say about ourselves. Number one, write this down, mark it in your Bible or highlight it or somehow write this down. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us. Everybody say us. You know what us means? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How many is that? Let's count this one. Let's count this. I mean, come on, this is math class. Father, Son, y'all are good. And Holy Spirit. God says, let us, let the three of us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't tell me there's only one. Amen. He's not talking to angels. He's talking to the Son, talking to the Holy Ghost. Oh, let me get through this. Let us make a man, someone like ourselves, to be master of all life upon the earth and in the skies and in the seas. Do you realize what God just did? He spoke into existence the world, and then he says, let us make man just like ourselves. What did ourselves do? Ourselves created the word with world. The world with words. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Let us make man like us. What did we just do? We created the world with words. We create our world every day with the words that come out of our mouth. If you want to be a worm, be a worm. But honey, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a new creature. I'm not a worm anymore. I'm not a dog anymore. Okay, so he said, let us create the world. He used words, and he says, let us create somebody just like us. Somebody that can use their mouth. Yeah. Now, don't go home and try to fact check me and try to prove me wrong that that's not really theologically what it meant. He said, let us make someone just like us. And us just created the world with words. Amen? We're the only ones that use words intellectually. I mean, I love my dog. Oliver is, I wish I had a picture to show him this morning. I love my dog, Oliver. He sleeps with us. He sprawls out over the bed. Sometimes I only have this much room to the edge of my bed because he's so sprawled out. But I won't wake him up and I won't scoot him over. I'll let one leg hang out and the other leg stay on because I love my dog, okay? But me and my dog don't communicate too well. My dog doesn't respond to sentences real well. He knows one word commands, Tyler. He'll understand the one word commands, but he doesn't understand, Ollie, would you like to go to church today and go to Darlene's office and go to Daddy's office? No, he don't understand that. But listen, we are the only ones that can intelligently use words. Say this with me. What sayest thou of thyself? I agree with God. Say, I agree with God. Let's see what God said. Let us make mankind, someone like ourselves, to be masters of all of life. Now, this is going to be hard for you to say, but this is what going back and saying what the Word says. Everybody say this with me. You got to agree with me. Say, I agree with God. I am the master of all life. Yeah, see, that's not very loud, is it? It's not like, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's kind of hard to say, I am the master of all life. But God said in his word, let's create man just like ourselves and let them have dominion. Let them be the master of life. We should be mastering life, not life mastering us. We should be reigning in life, not life reigning in us. Is this okay? Okay, let's go on. Somebody says, and again, that song a while ago that they sang, God never made you a slave, but he did set you free. He did set you. How many know sin made you a slave? But God sets you free. Why? Because God wants you to have master and control of your life and not let anything that you hear in the news master your life. No matter what the politicians say. Doesn't matter the stock market. We're going to have what we say. And I say, along with Abraham, that I am blessed. We'll get into that in just a minute, okay? Somebody said, well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God to do something. You know, and how many knows God's waiting on you? God's waiting on you. How many knows that when Moses got to the Red Sea and he looked in front, and there was the water. Looked to the left, there was mountain. Looked to the right, there was mountain. Looked behind him, there was Pharaoh's chariots coming up on him faster than you can even think about. And Moses, you know what Moses did? The great leader, he began to cry. And he cried. And he cried. And finally, God said, what are you crying about? You don't have anything to cry about. I've given you authority. Hold that rod up and you speak to, and you command those waves to part. And Moses held his hand up, that rod. And how many knows they got through on the other side safely? Now, how many knows he could have said, well, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on the Holy Ghost. But how many knows the Holy Ghost is not the doer? The Holy Ghost is the what? He's the helper. The Holy Ghost is the helper. He will help you do what you need to do. He didn't come by and hold that rod up for Moses. Moses had to stick that rod out and God did the rest. We're waiting on God to do everything and God's waiting on us to start something. Good preaching, Pastor. Amen. We should be the master. How many of us we ought to master our finances? Amen. Can I give a good report? Can I tell that this morning or should I not? You mean you say yes or no? It's up to you, honey. No? Well, I don't have to say it. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I have been speaking out of my mouth. Now listen, you know what I'm about to say, don't you? I've been saying this for 40 years, and it came to pass about June 17th. But the reason we haven't said anything is we're still waiting for a final copy, but Solid Rock is now a debt-free church. Yeah. The mortgage has been paid. Yeah, give the Lord a praise. Amen. Give God a praise. That's been a thing over our head for 40 years. But you know what I said 20 years ago? You know what I said 25 years ago? You know what I said 30 years ago? Some of you have been here, no. Solid Rock will have a mortgage burning service. Did I not say that? How many times did I say that? It don't matter. Today's the day of victory. Today we are mortgage free. No more of those. She was paying $1,000 a week on our church payment and got ahead on the principal, and different ones would come up and give us generous offerings and say, put this on the principal of the church, and we'd put that on the principal, and we got this thing. You guys helped us get this thing down, got it paid for, but it didn't happen overnight. But you know what? Our words, we've been speaking. Solid Rock will have it. I can't wait to get that big old bowl out here and that deed that we're going to burn up, all right? A copy of it, not the real one. Whew. You got to say it. Amen. Listen, you can't claim and believe that God supplies all your needs when you're not a tither. Amen. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm not trying to bring us back under the law. But I'm telling you that if you're not generous and you don't give to God first, again, we move, then He moves. We do, then He do. Amen? And so when you're a tither and you give God, I guarantee you, you're going to be master of your finances. Amen? It might take 40 years, but you will be there. Some of you need to start confessing, my home is paid for. My home is paid for in Jesus' name. My home. And sow seeds toward that. Sow a seed towards debt reduction. Amen? Okay, this is not about money today. Number two. Okay, number one. I can say of myself, I can look what it says about me. I am the master of my life. I am not going to allow the devil to run roughshod over me. Number two, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Some translations say a new creation. Some translations say a new creature. The old life is gone. Everybody shout, gone. And a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave to us this wonderful message, this wonderful ministry of reconciliation. What sayest thou of thyself? I reign in life, and I confess that I am a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. I'm not a little old worm crawling through the earth. I'm not just a nobody. I'm a somebody. In fact, I was a prisoner, but now I'm free. I was a nobody, but God made me a somebody. Shout, I'm a somebody. You're a brand new creation. Something that never existed before. You're a brand new creation. I'm a new creature. I like that creature because we're all creatures, aren't we? We're creatures. Everybody say, I'm a spirit, but I live in a body. Now listen, if I happen to be preaching up here someday when I'm about 100 years old and I keel over and I fall off this stage and hit the ground, DNR, okay? DNR me. Because even though my body dies, my body is laying on the ground, my spirit man is still standing up. I'm telling you, my spirit man is still standing. And I'm probably standing over my body, looking at it and say, well, you finished the fight, Brother Rhodes, you finished the fight. Now let's go to heaven and we'll sink or sail off to heaven. But listen, how many know sometimes our body is stupid? Is that right, Darlene? How many found out that since you've been a new creation, on the inside, you're doing pretty good, but how many know on the outside we fail a bunch? Anybody besides me? We are new, not on the outside. Dennis, we're new on the inside. We're a brand new creation, one that never existed before. I'm a totally new person. That's why I can stand up tall, I can throw my shoulders back, I can hold my head up and say, I am a child of Almighty God because I've been washed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's what the Bible says about me, and that's what I'm going to say about myself. Thank God I don't have reformation, I have regeneration. Isn't that a good statement? We can approach the throne of God. I'm not a worm crawling up heaven's gates and crawling under the gate and approaching the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us now approach the throne of grace boldly, confidently. How can I do it boldly and confidently? Because I know my spirit man is right with God. My body's still a work in process. Huh? It's so wrong for us to look at somebody when they fail and we say, well, they must not be a Christian. Listen, I'm a Christian, but my body still messes me up sometimes. I am not perfect in my body yet. And I never will be as long as I'm on this earth and gravity's holding me down. But the Bible says, let us approach the throne of grace boldly that we might find help in our hour of need. Amen. Everybody shout, I'm a new person. Do you know that means you've got the nature of God on the inside of you? I've got the nature of God on the inside of me. His seed is in me. And you know what that means? That means now I am ruined for sinning. I cannot sin with pleasure anymore. My body can sin. But you know what? If I'm truly born again, my spirit man's going to go, stop it. Stop it. That's not right. You are ruined. You cannot enjoy sinning as a born-again Christian. Your spirit man is born again. This old flesh isn't born again, but it's impossible for the spirit man to sin. Amen. Everybody say, I'm ruined for sinning. How many remembers before you were saved? Did you do any things before? Don't tell me. Just raise your hand. Did you do anything before you were saved that was probably not Christ-like? We used to do wrong, didn't we? But now we're trying to sanctify this body. We're trying to get it to line up with our spirit man as this guy up here is renewed. We've been talking a lot about the soulish realm. And as this soulish realm gets renewed, the soulish realm will take the side of the spirit and make the body line up. But if your mind is not renewed, your soul will take the side of the body and your flesh will and your spirit man will cringe while you're given into the flesh. Is this okay today? Okay, say it out loud. I'm a brand new creation. Number three. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Okay, I'm talking about the inner man. That man knows the outer man still has problems, right? You can say the preacher got that right. Huh? Sometimes we struggle with the outer man. Steve, I know you never do. Your wife has told me how perfect you are and you've got it all together and you never, never, never mess up. But some of us still struggle with our outer man. We struggle with that outer man because sometimes the outer man yields to that fleshly dominance. But the inner man, the Bible says God made him to be sin for us, who he knew no sin, that we could become the righteousness. Now, don't let that word righteousness scare you. That word righteousness simply means right standing with God, right? I mean, that's about the simplest terms I can give you. I am in right standing with God. That means I can approach God. Not as a worm, not as a sinner saved by grace, not as an outcast, not as a slave, but I can approach the throne of God because I am a new creation and I am now the righteousness of God in Christ. We have a right to approach the Father. Amen. He made that possible. It's nothing you did. Now listen to this statement. I gave this statement to you Wednesday night, Dustin. Wherever there is inferiority, there can be no acts of authority. Let me say it again. Wherever there is inferiority, there can never be acts of authority. As long as you think you're a nobody, you're a worm, you do not have right standing with God, you will never be able to exercise your spiritual authority. Come on, let that sink in. As long as I'm walking in inferiority, I will never be able to exercise my rights as a new creation and as the righteousness of God in Christ. If you're still with me, say amen. As long as you have a feeling of inferiority, you will never boldly act with authority. And how many knows this is where the devil comes in with condemnation? Condemnation. And you know the condemnation is always in the flesh, isn't it? He always condemns what our flesh does. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. There cannot be any condemnation in your spirit man. Their spirit man don't sin. You're ruined for sinning on even on the outside because now when you sin, you're miserable. Why did I do that, you stupid dork? What is wrong with you? Why did I yield to that temptation? I know better than that. Why did I get in that big fight with my wife? It's not going to matter 10 minutes from now. Why couldn't I just keep my mouth shut or say I'm sorry? Because, yeah. Her or me, both, yeah. Oh, my. When you're righteous, when you're the righteousness of God, you can rise up and act in authority. Amen. Number four. This is the last one. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Number four. What sayest thou of thyself? Who do you say you are? If you'll just say these four things on a daily basis, it's going to change your life, Dr. Sue. Absolutely. It will change your life. If you'll just say these four things about yourself every day. I am the master of my life. Satan has no rule over me. I'm a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And number four, I am blessed and cannot be cursed. That's right. Yeah. Number four is important. Don't let this one get by you. Number four, Galatians 3. I am blessed and I cannot be cursed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham, say blessings of Abraham. Come on, everybody say blessings of Abraham. Say it three times real loud, blessings. That's pitiful. I heard the live stream say it louder than you did. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When you know that you're blessed and you cannot be cursed, when you know that the curse of poverty and sickness and death and crying and sighing and sickness and breakup of marriages and early deaths and children running around wild, losing them to the devil, that is a curse, and we are redeemed from that curse. Amen. The blessing is all my children shall come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My children will know Jesus. My children will be in heaven with us. I just want you to know this morning, you've been redeemed, bought back, purchased. First he made us, then we turned our back on him, then he bought us with his blood, and now we belong to him. Amen? Amen. So we need to stand up to the spirit of poverty. Listen, if you're dealing with poverty, and I said this the other night, you can deal with poverty with a big bank account and all kinds of investments and all kinds of assets. You can still have a spirit of poverty because you're afraid if you let go that you'll never get it back or you'll never have enough. But I want to tell you something. Daryl and Darlene Rhodes has been redeemed from the curse of poverty. It's overrated. I don't want to go back to living in lack and leanness. That's why I have Luke come up and pray with me every once in a while when I give in the offering. I'll have Luke come up and pray with me. And we curse poverty and we curse lack and we release the blessings of God upon solid rock in this ministry and upon our lives personally. Thank God we are delivered. Hallelujah. Did I say that was my last one? I'm going to have to retract that statement. But stand up to the spirit of poverty and say, you're not going to dominate me. I am a giver. I am a tither. Amen. I have a right to have the windows of heaven opened over my life. Yes. You say that's an Old Testament promise. I want to tell you something. We claim a lot of Old Testament promises every day. Don't get hung up on that. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable, okay? Everybody say, I'm blessed in the city. Say, I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come in. And I'm blessed when I leave. I'm blessed in my basket, in my store, in my business, in my company, in my investments. I'm blessed in all that I set my hand to do. My finances are supernaturally blessed. Yeah, let's say this one. I'm the head and not the tail. And I'm above only and not beneath. The blessings of Abraham come upon the redeemed. Any redeemed folks in here this morning? Okay, I said that I was going to stop on number four, but if you'll just, how many just give me about three more minutes? Let me see, three more? Okay. Number three. Number five. What sayest thou of thyself? Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. We were in Kenya 2 or 3 years ago, and we were supposed to catch our flight like at 1 o'clock in the morning. We got there about 9 or 10, pouring down rain, nowhere to stand. I mean, you got your luggage, and there's no covers. You're just standing out there, and our host went up to the officer at the front door and said, can I get my guest in? Can we get them in a little early? And he said, no, they're going to have to wait like everybody else. Well, Shem, thank you, Shem. You did us a good number for us there. Shem come back to me and he said, do you still have your badge? My chaplain's badge? Yeah. He said, let me borrow that badge for a minute. Now listen, he walked up to that front door and showed them my badge. And he said, I have a diplomat out here that him and his wife need to get in this door right now. You know what they did? They opened the door wide and ushered Darlene and I in because we had diplomatic privileges. Can I tell you that as a child of God, as an ambassador of Almighty God, our citizenship is not on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have diplomatic immunity when it comes to the things of this world. That's why sickness and disease cannot touch us. We have diplomatic, come on, immunity. That's why poverty cannot live forever in our lives. Because we have diplomatic. Oh, I knew you'd get that. How many's going to remember this message forever? Okay, number 5, Colossians 1. Did I say that? Colossians 1, 11 through 14. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Come on up, worship team. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who has purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Somebody shout diplomatic immunity. He's rescued us from the spirit of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Everybody shout this out loud with me. Don't pay any attention to them. Say, I am delivered. From the power of darkness, I am delivered from the power of Satan and from the powers of demons. In Jesus' name, I am delivered. I'm not going to be delivered. I'm not going to be healed. I am healed. I'm not going to prosper. I am prosperous. You see, faith reaches into the future and brings it into the now. Hope is always up in the future. Well, I hope so. Someday, one of these days, I will. How about releasing our faith? Faith says, now. Now I have it now. Did I make anybody mad yet? How many happy people we got in here today? How many's glad I shared this with you this morning? This message will change your life forever. Say what the word says. I have authority. Amen. So number five, I am delivered. He has rescued us. He's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He's bought us out of our sins. He's purchased our freedom and he's forgiven us of our sins. Man, when you really, really believe that you have been delivered from the authority of darkness, you will walk in authority. Every time one of those little demons try to attack you or attack your children, attack your wife, I recognize the attacks on my wife, and I know it's not from God. I know it's a demonic attack, and I just take authority. You know, sometimes I have to cast the devil out of her. Come on, husbands, I'm trying to help you learn something this morning. Not the devil out of her, but off of her, because Satan comes to steal her health and stop the healing. And sometimes I got to say, Satan, take your hands off. We're redeemed. I read in Deuteronomy to her last night, where we are redeemed from the burning. It says that. We are redeemed from the burning. And she's get these burns in her chest that goes all the way down to past her knees. And it's a burning that she just gets, a nerve thing that happened during her surgery. But listen, that's no problem for God. I just take authority over that burning and declare, stop in the name of Jesus. You got to speak with authority. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Woo! I preached myself into a holy perspiration today. I don't know how to say this without maybe turning the cap the wrong way this morning, but listen, we've got to become bold in our confession. We can't be mealy-mouthed about it. You say, well, I'm just the quiet nature. Well, you're not going to overcome just by your little old Mickey Mouse voice. You have to speak with authority. Those of you that have been in the military, did your drill instructor or your drill sergeant ever come up to you and say, now, boys, You need to line up. You know, come on, guys, get in a straight line. I don't want to yell at you, but get in a straight line. Now, come on, boys. If you don't, I'm going to give you extra KP. KP, is that the way you say it? I'm going to give you extra duty. Come on, boys, line up. Oh, button your shirts up. Come on, your tie's not straight. Come on, your rifle's not hanging. Come on, folks. They don't do that. And they don't give you much of a choice to make a decision. They tell you and you do it. That's why when we tell Satan, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus, you get off my wife, you get out of my finances, you get out of my body, you get out of that church member's body, you leave them alone in Jesus' name, we declare they're healed. You got to do it. And you can't. I know you're quiet, and I know you don't raise your voice, but listen, you've got authority, and I know not everything's in volume. But I've watched enough cop shows, and I've ridden with enough cops. Are you here, Arletty? Wave at me. I ought to have prayed you all the way up here so people can see who you are. What a mighty man of God. But when he walks up to a car, and he says, sir, I need you to get out of your car. He doesn't say, would you kindly get out? He'll say, I need you to get out of your car. I'm not getting out of my car. I have my rights. I said, get out of your car. I have a reason to ask you to get out of your car. I suspect there's something in. Get out of your car. I'm not getting out of my car. How many knows Our Lady's not going to say, come on, please. Our Lady's not going to get on his knees and say, now listen, I know you might not agree with me, but would you please just this one time get out of your car? You know what he's going to do? If they won't roll down their window, I guarantee you he'll break the window. He'll reach in there and unlock the door, and he'll drag them out. That's the way we need to do the devil when he comes to you and says, you got to give up this and you got to let that go and you'll never have this. You're always going to be a worm. You're always going to be an alcoholic. You're always going to be on drugs. You'll never be able to quit that habit. You got to tell the devil, no, no, I'm the righteousness of God. I have authority in Jesus Christ. You will not dictate to me. I am the master of my life, not you. Come on, church. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. All right. Let's make our confession. What sayest thou of yourself? Everybody in this building, would you just say this with me? I am the master of all life. No, that's too. That, now that is mealy mouth, chicken voice. With authority, with volume. With authority, like you're telling your kid. You know, did you ever hear the story about the daddy that his kid kept standing up in church all the time, and he'd tell his little four-year-old, I said, sit down. He said, I'm not going to sit down. He's standing up, and dad said, I said, sit down. He said, I'm not going to sit down. I'm standing up. And he told him about four times, and finally he took him by his shoulders, and he pushed him down. He said, I said, sit down. The little boy looked at him and said, I might be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. Sometimes we just got to get a little, push him down, amen? Push the devil down, amen. Okay, let's try this one more time. I am the master of my life. Now you understand, I say that humbly, not pushing God out. I'm not trying to say God is not the master, Jesus is not Lord. I'm just saying we're not going to let the devil control our life, amen? Let's try it one more time. I am the master of my life. Number two, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am so blessed that I cannot be cursed. And I am delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Give him a hand as the worship team sings this morning. Come on, let's praise him today. Hallelujah. I was the beggar.